Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, Harriet Carmichael and Matt Rodriguez Payne.
She's there, she's in the sketch.
Who is?
Harriet.
No, it was the stress that I put on V for some reason, I don't know why. Now,
like I'm Lucy versus Freeman.
Exactly,
like
yes.
I'm having that internal war with
Team
myself.
Freeman.
Yeah.
Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Harry the Hip Chilcot inquiry, whose name is now longer than his tenure on the Archers before he's revealed as the wrong un he undoubtedly is. Harry pronounced Alice's aunt as Shula, and I've realised that one of the issues, have you just gobbed coffee everywhere? I've just realised that one of the issues with Harry is that he speaks as if English is his second language. In fact, not even second, probably about eighth. And going from one stodgy, doughy lump to another, we arrived at Yorkshire Pudding Day. This featured Yorkshire Pudding Bunting, which Jolene described as hilarious. I couldn't really see why, as Yorkshire Pudding is a sort of brown sponge, which I can't imagine being very photogenic. I mean, how did they make it hilarious? Put little hats on all the puddings. Madness. Yorkshire Pudding Day also led to Fallon and Harrisman attempting to move into the Bull before Jolene said absolutely not over my dead body and adopted a defensive karate stance. Twitter charitably thought it was because she was concerned they'd be dragged into whatever the West Bromwich branch of the Cosa Nostra had got lined up for her. It wasn't, it was because she couldn't bear the idea of eating leftover carrot cake for dinner every day, while Harrisman coloured in his book of baddies. There was a case recently of a woman who won a tribunal because she was fired by someone who decided to do so without getting off her horse to do it. That could have been Harry and Chris. Chris stood in the mud tugging his forelock while Harry curvetted about him saying, "Spect you chaps are quite busy this time of year," or whatever approximated to that in whatever strange language it is that Harry speaks. For some unaccountable reason, the second Adam started at the dairy, Clary and Susan immediately went to DEFCON 8 with practical jokes and snarky comments. If they'd just ignored him, it would have been all fine, but I could see how it would be difficult to ignore someone who was being that snotty about someone forgetting their keys. He had forgotten the cardinal rule of being a temporary manager, which is keep your mouth shut and stay out of the way of the machinery. If there are people there who know what they're doing, let them get on with it. Your job is to take the blame if something goes wrong, and that's it. Something did go wrong, and as always with Bridge Farm, the manager got rewarded with a pat on the back, and the rude mechanicals were going to be taught a gentle lesson. They all headed to the Bull and were surprised to see Kenton there. He had decided he wasn't getting enough attention, so he discharged himself from hospital, saying, "Well, I definitely wouldn't have got better in hospital. I'm so much better in a pub with no handrails, no medical staff and stairs I can't negotiate." Jolene quietly but determinedly moved him out, and he took up residence, wonder of wonders, in the full disabled access wing of Ambridge Hall. Who knew? It must have been built by very, very quiet slaves. That's all I can think. Linda was very protective about Kenton's injuries to the extent that she seemed quite likely to offer to help him wee and wash his bits. So he hobbled back to the Bull to wreak more havoc in the guise of helping Jolene. Leaning up against the bar, Tony, Pat and Adam chatted about a cat and pretended that watching a bloke on crutches flailing about pouring drinks everywhere and ripping his stitches open trying to change an optic was entirely normal. Pat has been reduced, as all owners of pain in the arse cats have, to bribing Hilda Ogden to do everything with Dreamies. I don't know what the hell they put in Dreamies, but they were the only way I could prevent Sybil showing her bumhole in glorious Technicolor to everyone on my Zoom calls. Tony, on the other hand, is seeing Hilda Ogden as the feline personification of his mother, so being given the opportunity to hurl his mother off a chair and out into the passageway was heaven sent. By the end of the week, Tony will be rocking back and forth, asking Hilda to tell him she loves him. Harry's mummy, Eve, Queen of the Garden Centres, does not like Alice because Alice is an alcoholic. I do not like Eve because Alice is an alcoholic, but she is a recovering one, and the slight sneer of the untouchable in Eve's voice gave me the heebie-jeebies. Mm. I know many, many white middle-class women in their 50s who quite happily have two double gin and tonics and a bottle of wine every single evening and more at the weekends and get very stroppy indeed if they don't get them, who happily refer to other people as alcoholics. So my opinion of her has plummeted. I also did not like her because she invited Alice to help her pick a dress. You do not ask a woman you've literally just met to help you buy a dress. When you are stuck in a changing room sweating with your arms wedged above your head, you need your very best friend, A, to put up with all the swearing, B, to help cut you out of your bra, and C, to distract the assistant while you hurry it back onto the rack and leave the shop at high speed. Although Eve sounds more like the little silk dress being slipped on and off sort, so I do not like her. Mm. But that could well be because she was in Middlemarch and got snogged by Rufus Sewell, the cow. Ah. The end.
Did she indeed?
She did. I've temporarily forgotten her name. She's an extremely good actress.
Oh, yes.
And, she was in Middlemarch.
Also, presumably, Juliet extremely good-looking if she's being snogged by...
But she plays Thingy, doesn't she? She's the worst. She marries old Casaubon and so she's sort of a bit downtrodden and dutiful and bookish. So she looks a bit dusty, slightly dusty. I but see. Obviously, Will Sewell as Ladislaw came along and
Yes.
And I was going to say opened her up, but that's
yes, no, and made you wish that you were she.
Yes,
fact. You've got a bit of a thing for the old.
I have,
Mr. Sewell, haven't
yes,
you? Not Brian Sewell. And
he is not quite
sexuality.
Sexual, no.
But to Rufus. Now, even I will admit that Rufus is a jolly good-looking man.
He is.
You said something right at the end of that made that was that will be my takeaway from today. I've learned something today.
What was that?
And that it's not just me that sweats profusely in changing rooms.
Oh, though. Everybody does. Department stores are heated. Department stores are heated to it. A balmy
like
26 degrees.
Yes.
And they're generally hotter than the surface of the sun. You're in a very, very, very small ply wood
container. And I'm a very, very big man.
Yes. With no, I'm not a very, very big man.
No.
But also,
thank goodness.
So it's. And you're in you're trapped in a really, really tiny thing.
No ventilation. Yeah, right, yeah.
With other hot bodies
horrible.
Around you.
I can't try clothes on for more than about 5 minutes.
And it's also a little bit of nerves as well that you think, I am going to get sweaty and hot in this, and therefore you inevitably...
Oh, no, I'm not really that self-aware. But, it catches me by surprise every time.
But also, it's all the... It's taking your clothes off and putting them on again. I absolutely hate trying on clothes in shops. Okay. And because you shouldn't take your clothes off to just put more ones on. You should take them off to go and do something and then come back and then take them.
What?
Well, whatever. I'm not going into details necessarily. Go swimming.
What are you taking your clothes off to
go
and do?
Go swimming or have a shower or go to bed or get up again or something. Right. But not just this... Oh, God. Ooh. When I used to do celebrity hair stylist PR... Hilariously, considering I barely brush mine. I don't know what they must have looked at me and thought. Let's hope she's saving her expertise for the...
Well, it's always that thing, isn't it, about the go to the barber who's got the worst haircut to get your hair cut because you know that some... He didn't do his own. Yes.
Or he's concentrating on other things. Mm. But it took me a long time to get used to the models that would just walk around in their G-strings all the time. They'd wear flesh-coloured... They'd wear
I've got slightly misty eyed listeners.
It probably wouldn't take you that long.
I think it might may take me quite a long time, actually. Some days, even weeks, potentially.
You'd have to be desensitised to it.
To get used to models walking around in
But they would literally
skimpies.
Walk around in flesh-coloured flesh-coloured G-strings.
That sounds awful.
And nothing else. And they'd take everything off while looking you in the eye and talking to you about the press release or whatever.
Which I found
incredibly disconcerting. And I'd go, woo, and turn away and then get a copper load of someone's bum where they were bending over and putting something else on. And but they just see their bodies as products and as available as available to all sort of thing in entirely within that context.
No, I mean, I'm talking a good game there, but the whole eye contact thing would just, I mean, even if I got that far, honestly, I'd probably just get to the door, turn around and go home and have a nice cup of tea. But as soon as I miss any eye contact, I'd be, you wouldn't see me for dust. Nope, I'm a good Catholic boy and I can't be doing with that kind of thing. Anyway, we should probably talk about the arches at some point.
It was about the getting changed in front of people and things. And it's a very intimate and unusual thing to do, even if the person waits outside the changing rooms and you pop in and out in a variety of outfits, like on Pretty Woman, except not as stylish, and they say, yeah, you see, you need your friend there to say, no, that makes ass look off.
Yeah. If only I'd had a friend with me, I'd have saved myself about a third of my purchases, I suspect, over the years.
And it's something you only do with somebody who really trusts you. Who you really trust. So it was incredibly weird that Eve. That Eve would have invited Alice.
So for instance, my mother, who didn't have a daughter.
Would she take you?
No, she would as well, yes. I mean, she may have been, blowing smoke up my...
Pandering.
Exactly. But I shouldn't knock the table. I guess you can say that.
Okay,
loud. Sorry, if you whisper, they still hear
you. This is weird, ladies and gentlemen.
It is very weird, yes.
Normally... It's a bit like sex with a prostitute. There's no eye contact, you see, and it's much better. But now we're at the same table talking.
Yes, we are sharing a microphone. Even.
It's just odd.
Yes. So I used to go shopping with my female friends as well. I used to be quite good at that. Oh no, that makes your ass look big. No, that's exactly your colour, or that shape really suits you.
Well, you should have gone with Eve then. It was about as likely that Eve would have asked you to go.
If a potential daughter-in-law then came along,
they've been going out for about a fortnight.
Nonetheless, there's still, there's potentially, and Eve hadn't had a daughter and had missed a daughter, and I have seen this with my own mother. When my daughter, and you've never met my mother, but my ex-wife was, until she made it clear that she wasn't interested in going shopping with my mother, she was very, very keen very early to sort of co-opt them into that kind of thing. So I could see that happening.
Okay.
Bit of a U-turn though.
They're finding out she's an alcoholic. Well, it makes me think that there's something in Harry's past that makes him particularly vulnerable to...
It's all a bit...
That.
Mysterious, isn't it?
Yes.
And annoying.
Well, it always is. And the scenarios we come up with to explain the mystery are always far more interesting than... And then it actually comes out and we're like, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not with the CIA then. No, okay. All right.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say that I have sympathy for Eve, but
I guess you would like your child to go out with somebody uncomplicated.
Exactly, right. And I think chucking a brick through a window, that was the one that really hit home when she said she threw a brick through a window, and I thought, when you put it like that, Alice does, and she doesn't. I would hope that if it were me in that situation, I'd take that newly found out information, keep it to myself, and keep my powder dry.
Yes, exactly.
Just in case.
And Harry is presumably supposed to be mid-30s?
I guess. Yeah, about that, probably.
And his mother's saying to him, you are not to see her again.
Yeah. Does she actually say that? She might have done, actually. Mm. Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
You need to not see her again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that smells like a slightly weird relationship between Harry and his mother, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah.
There's clearly some very strange things. And you're talking about Harry speaking English like it's his eighth language.
It's odd, isn't it?
He speaks like he's permanently taking the piss.
Yeah.
I'd slap him if it were me. I'd listen to it for 15 minutes and then I'd punch him because he's clearly having a laugh at my expense.
Who was that? I've got a feeling it was Newman and Badil. They used to do this sketch where everything sounded sarcastic.
The sarcastic guy, yeah.
And that's Harry, isn't it?
Yeah, he was being completely honest. Yeah. He was just afflicted with a tone of voice that made him sound sarcastic.
So when he said to Chris, I expect you're busy at this time of year, and Chris is like, yeah.
That whole conversation. Because I think, on balance, it's difficult to know, but I think he was being genuinely chatty and friendly. But it sounded incredibly passag.
He's had a really weird brief, that poor actor, because that was actually pointed out. Chris said to Susan, he says all the right things, but the way he says them makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it's coming across. But how the hell are you supposed to act that in the way that you did? And why the hell?
More
exactly.
To the point.
Well, it's to make us not trust him.
Do you ever met anybody like that?
Not for very long. No. I wouldn't have hung around.
Sleeping with the fishes to discover
their, you know, hidden depths or anything.
It's very peculiar.
It is really odd.
Mm. And I might be going against the majority opinion here. I'm not 100% convinced that Harry's a wrong'un either. It wouldn't surprise me if he turned out to be all right.
I'll tell you what he's doing. He's making Chris look like the most eligible man.
No, he really
Ambridge
is. No,
by
at
about
this point,
48
I want
million.
To marry Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, he does. And well, perhaps.
And when he said,
perhaps that's it.
Oh, I get to meet Martha's grandparents.
Yeah, no, no.
I was thinking Martha's grandparents are nothing to do with you.
No, absolutely.
Martha's barely anything to do with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't just swan in. You don't just wander across a restaurant and, hi, I'm Harry the Hip Chilcot Inquiry. They ask you if you get invited to a family thing.
Maybe then that's what this is all about, and they are setting up. So he'll do something, he or his mother will do something really out of order, put Alice in some sort of danger or at risk. Chris will come to the rescue.
Well, everybody said last night, oh God, that's Alice back on the booze then, when, you know, she was so upset.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
honestly, if she is back on the booze, then I don't know what I'm going to do because we had 2 years of it and it was enough. No, I don't want to make light of that.
Yeah, but... No, I know what you mean. But I think as a trigger, having expressly, your alcoholism expressly used as a reason why you should not be able to have a nice relationship.
There'd be a temptation to fuck it then. If everybody's going to treat me like an alcoholic, then I might as well be one.
And the horrible inner addict voice is always looking for the reason. Is always, what did the woman say, waiting in the car park for you?
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, oh, well, there you see, told you, might as well.
They can't, surely. She can't have a relapse. I mean, give it 10 years or so, and they.
She might be on the brink, and Chris might save her.
That would tie things up nicely, wouldn't it? I honestly don't really know why we bother trying to predict these storylines because we get about one in ten.
That's the whole joy of it. It's why people bet on horses and why people.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yeah. And why you support Southampton and all that.
No, that's because they just lose all the time. Actually, not this year, but you know they'll be back to it soon enough.
Okay.
They never actually win anything of any importance.
Okay, all right.
So that is predictable.
Okay, then it's sort of comforting. It's predictable.
Well, yes, I suppose. I suppose comforting in the way that an ingrown toenail is comforting.
That's going to hurt. Oh, it does. yes. What did you think of the Hilda bits? Hilda's bits. Let's move on to Hilda's bits.
Yeah, I mean, Tony, Tony's just so wet.
Mm.
He winds me up faster than any other character on The Archers, and that's saying something.
Well, Twitter suddenly went blue with cough Tony the second.
He's just being so dank about everything.
Yeah.
And he drives me up the wall. I think Hilda was just being fairly usually cattish, to be honest, wasn't she?
Yeah.
You know, being a bit of a dick quite a lot of the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know what his expectations are, really.
No.
I mean, I suppose he's had Hilda dumped on him a bit, hasn't he?
Well, I think he is. I think he is literally exercising the anger he feels with his mother for a million,
cat.
80 years of abuse through the medium of the cat. but then he had the wreck at the end. He couldn't leave her where he...
His actual love and care for Hilda shone through, etc., etc.
Ect.
And Hilda's immediately shat on that by ruining an entire batch of cheese in the dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, nice one, Hilda.
No, that was before, wasn't it? I can't remember.
They found her, and then she went to the.
But then he went, yes, but and then they went to the pub all together and were talking about. Adam had to said he'd made a mistake and all that, so yes, no, that happened. So and then he was talking about not being able to leave Hilda at the thing.
Yes.
They were having that conversation while Kenton was flailing around, bleeding.
Bloody Kenton! I mean, don't get me wrong, I do feel sorry for him. You know, he's been bitten by a big, angry dog in several particularly sore places by the sounds of things.
Mm.
But what a clown.
Mm. Mm. Do you know, I've got a horrible feeling I am one of those people. I was going to pretend I wasn't. But if my sister's listening to this, she will write in and say, that's you, that is. But people that say, I'm ill. The doctor's told me I'm ill. I've been told to rest. I'm just going to do the dishwasher. So everyone trails after you going, will you sit down and stop doing things?
Yeah.
And you say, okay, I'll just let me do the, I'll just empty the tumble dryer and then I promise I'll sit.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, it's really hurting. And everyone shouts, that's because you didn't do.
Yeah.
And
he's way beyond that though.
I
mean, coming home on crutches when he couldn't, he knew he hadn't been taught how to get up the stairs.
Yeah.
And it's a pub. Everything is up the stairs.
Yeah.
And then bodging around in the bar as well.
Yeah.
For just
broken glass everywhere.
Sod off.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and lie down in your mysteriously appearing... So,
Did you not know about that?
No. So
it's next to the bowling alley near the Wild
West Park. So Linda clearly lives in the Mr. Ben shop. Exactly.
A disabled wings appear.
Yes, right. Mm. What are we going to have? What are we going to have in the East Wing today? Here's your recently discharged from hospital costume. recently self-discharged from hospital.
Do you think Kenton was still in his little hospital gown with his bum flapping?
Yeah, I expect so. Well, there's no way he'd have been able to put his own clothes on, would he?
No.
And I don't know, do they help you to put your clothes on if you discharge yourself? Or do they just go, get on with it then?
They're really worried. They hate it. Because they know you're going to do something stupid and come back with a gaping wound, having split your stitches open.
How did he get... Presumably he came home by taxi?
Rex came to see him in the hospital. Freddie came to see him in the hospital.
Oh,
and Frex and Freddie gave him a lift home.
But how did he get into the car?
I don't know.
If you can't get upstairs.
Maybe Freddie put the seats down in the back and just sort of slid him in. He just laid flat. Like off a plank. Just sort of shot him in. Like Rolled him in. Stupid idiot.
He's being...
Thing is, he's inadvertently making Jolene feel worse.
Oh yeah, far worse.
She knows that she's connected with the attacks. With the attack. And therefore, she feels terrible about him being attacked. And now she feels even worse because he keeps trying... He's making things worse for himself by feeling guilty about her and trying to help. Pillock.
What's going to happen? Ball burned down?
I can't really see what they're angry about. The people that,
well,
the people
we don't know,
that aren't
do we?
Doing the thing. What is the crossness for?
So I might not have been paying attention, but then clearly neither were you. She explained. Jolene explained what had happened.
No, we know all that, which is...
Right.
One of them was getting a bit leery, tried to get up on stage. The bouncer pushed them off the stage. Yeah, yeah. Then there was a huge fight in the car park with her. But would you then... Would that be enough to keep you seething with such fury for 20 years?
Well, no. I don't think that's what's happened. So they've come to the Bull...
Yeah.
I think that was a coincidence.
Recognised Jolene.
And that would have been fine too, except then Kenton's now been bitten by the dog.
Right. So why would that then... Surely the natural thing then would be for them to go away and not go back to that place.
Well, no, because he... Whatever his name is, we don't know any names, do we?
Okay, Mr. Sinister.
Mr. Sinister, yes. Who sounds nothing like Vince, by the way.
No, I know.
Mr. Sinister knows that he even said, I know you recognised me.
Do you think he's Tony Soprano's black Terry Soprano?
Terry Soprano, yes. He said to her, I know, because she was pretending not. I mean, he said, I saw you see me.
Yeah.
I know you recognise me.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have been a problem either if they just, you know, if Kenton... And the way Kenton talks to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I mean, I have met a couple of landlords, clearly, over the years who've been arseholes, but they are very few and far between.
All right, lads. Keep it down. What did he say?
Worse than that.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Because Harriet thought that they'd been annoyed by the way that Kenton spoke to them.
Yeah, yeah. I can absolutely... I mean, it probably didn't make any difference, but it didn't help, you know. And the way he was talking in the pub earlier, you know, in the evening as well, when, you know, he was trying to get people to shut up for the results of the ridiculous competition.
Yeah.
He just... I think very, very few landlords talk to their customers like that these days. Very few.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, I don't want to say he deserved it, because clearly nobody deserves that. But yeah, he doesn't help himself, does he? Good Lord.
No.
And so anyway, so now they can't just leave it, because they know that Jolene knows at least somebody who was associated with the dog.
Right, okay.
Which is why he came back then to threaten Jolene and say, you ain't seen me, right.
But wouldn't the threat of burning the pub down be enough? They wouldn't actually have to do it.
Well, just in case Jolene hadn't put two and two together.
I suppose her having a son-in-law who's a policeman as well.
Yeah, so I didn't... Though this is something else I've learned this week, is that they live next door.
Mm.
Did we know this?
Well, we didn't, but somebody messaged Paul Wiskin, just sent us, it could be the archetypal header line on any Archer's email. It's just Y with two question marks. He said, if Harrisman and Fallon live next door to the Bull, why do they need to move in to keep Jolene safe? And why did they not hear Kenton being attacked?
Right.
Yes.
This is more or less exactly what I was going to say.
Yes. Could have cut that storyline short without Vince getting involved. Will Harrisman notice if the Bull next door mysteriously goes up in flames?
Yeah.
Sorry, love, it's not.
Yeah, bitch.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Toasty to that, love.
Sorry, love, it's not my case, Paul says.
Have you just heating up?
Fallon, energy charges, love. Bloody boiling in here. Is that crackling?
The world's least observant copper.
And I also loved the way he held so firm to his principles for about 2.5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
As she said, could you have a word and see what's going on? Yeah. And he went, no, I absolutely could not. And she is totally against everything. And then she said, could you though? All right, then another word.
He was quickly talked out of actually, surprisingly quickly talked out of moving in as well.
Yeah.
Mind you, Jolene was.
No.
I don't know how to put this any clearer. Yeah.
No, yet. No. No. Just try it, sunshine. What else do you need me to say?
So I think possibly that was a little bit of self-awareness there. From right, okay. No,
so
I see.
That's a no. I'm getting a no. I don't know if you meant that, but I'm sensing, Jolene, you don't want us to move in.
That one was definitely a no.
Message from David Wright here.
Hello, David.
Who said, I nearly fell off my kitchen stool when Harriet called the Black Country beautiful. Yes, that's because Harriet was thinking about an entirely different part of the country.
Where was Harriet thinking about?
Kidderminster.
Yes, that's also, I have to say.
Yeah.
I mean.
And Kettering, which we
talked about this before. So Clee Hill, with its famously wild sheep, Lucy, is beautiful.
Yes,
and that's just next to Kidderminster. But Kidderminster itself. It's like a big roundabout with a carpet factory attached to it.
Harriet was possibly in the Cotswolds. She was in Kidderminster. Could have been anything. Anyway, she said many words. He said many words come to mind to describe it. Beautiful is possibly not one of them.
No.
A lot of people think it was called that because of the smoke from the thousands of factories back in the day, but the prevalent belief is it was due to the black colour of the soil where the coal seam came to the surface.
All right, okay.
Also, black country folk hate being mistaken for Brummies.
Mm-hmm.
Kidderminster is near the black country, but not in it.
Yes.
It specialised in carpet making. Nearer still is Stourbridge, which was the centre of the glassmaking industry.
It was also the centre of the early 90s sort of British version of grunge explosion.
Was it?
Yes. So Ned's Atomic Dustbin and Pop Will Eat Itself and The Wonder Stuff all came from Stourbridge.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's only a wee place.
That's normally a result of one really, really good music teacher.
Yeah, it could well be something like that, couldn't it? They were all contemporaries. They were all the same age. Yeah. I know Pop Will Eat Itself may be a bit older, but
The Black Country, well, that meant that Pop Will Eat Itself, that one of their younger brothers set up Tom and Dustbin. That's not how it works. The Black Country itself specialised in iron and steel manufacturing. The Black Country Living Museum is in Dudley, which is definitely in the Black Country. My dad's from Dudley, which makes him proper yam-yam, apparently.
Yeah, that was the we were talking about this, roads which attract the Dudley Road is definitely one of those. You never hear anybody talk about Dudley Road. It's the Dudley Road.
Round here, people from the Black Country, there was a case the other day where somebody not local to here, but somebody in North Wales, was charged with racially aggravated abuse because they'd put the most awful note through this family's door because they'd recently arrived in the area from the Black Country. And this note basically said, go back to where you came from with all your fellow yam-yams, which was, you know, just totally berserk. But anyway, it was,
So the Black Country is a funny one because as David's email suggested, there are varying theories as to why it's called the Black Country.
Yeah.
Also, it's very difficult to get an exact...
Well, that's
what is and what ain't.
Well, that's what in Wikipedia said. It's notorious.
Yeah.
It's notorious for everybody. Everybody has got a different idea about where it starts and where it stops.
Yeah. So my grandfather was born in Shelfield, which is near Walsall. And he always said that, or maybe he didn't say it, but other people have said it about him to me, that he was born in the Black Country.
Well, Walsall is apparently, according to Wikipedia, Walsall is slap back. And Tipton?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, Tipton as well, right. So, but then he moved out to Lichfield as a young boy, right. And I don't think that's Black Country anymore.
No.
In fact, I was there in Lichfield a few weeks ago, and it's lovely.
It is.
What a beautiful town. But we had bookshelves full of Aenoch and Aelai jokes and stories and things. And it was very much, the Black Country was very much part of our home culture, and even I couldn't exactly tell you where it is or why it's called that or anything else.
Kate Lloyd-Jones says, Kate Lloyd-Jones is my spirit animal. She basically says what I've been thinking, but much more articulately.
Yes. You're like, oh, yes. No, that. Yes, exactly.
That's what I meant. She said, there's been a couple of instances when people have used a relative's first name recently that really jarred with me. On Sunday, when talking about the Yorkshire pudding event to Harrison, Fallon mentioned that Wayne had been working on special recipes. Although her parents split up when she was young, Wayne's her dad.
Yeah.
He's always been in her life, and I'm sure she calls him Dad, although we may need James Everett to corroborate this. I certainly don't refer to my dad by his name to my husband. I guess poor Wayne is so rarely mentioned they have to use his name, as if she'd said Dad, the casual listener would have no idea who the person was and why he was cooking at the Bull. Last week, I'm sure I also heard Brad say Ben, Bert, when talking about his granddad. Again, just felt all wrong. Maybe I'm too old or polite. P.S. Harry was a total arse to Chris on Sunday. Mm. Although he tried to hide imposing his superiority in the guise of a joke. Even loved-up Alice noticed.
Yeah.
She did. You could tell there was a certain... She went, oh, Harry. She was trying to shut the conversation down,
the whole
down,
thing was clearly weird for everybody involved.
Yes, except Harry.
Except Harry, apparently. Yeah. I don't know. Again, no, he didn't show any signs of self-awareness, did he?
But we don't know. We know so little about Harry, we can't tell.
But about the grandfather, dad thing, I would certainly never call my dad anything but Dad. Mm. And in fact, when my son called my father...
it was Armageddon, wasn't it?
Graham, a couple of years ago, inadvertently... the shit hit the fan. I didn't like it at all. But there is a generational thing in that now when I talk about granddad, I'm not talking about my granddad. I'm talking about the kid's granddad, so my father. So now I've gone from calling my own grandfather granddad to calling him Sydney, because then everybody knows who I'm talking about. So granddad is my dad and Sydney is my grandfather.
Yeah, but...
That's not what was happening there. So
No,
that is odd.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember the sheep masturbation? Do you remember that email?
I can honestly say I do not remember the sheep masturbation email, and you'd think I would, really.
Mm.
When was this?
Last week. Jennifer
I haven't. Corley. I didn't listen to last week.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
Jennifer Corley, who's our resident vet.
Now I wish I had listened last week, honestly.
When you're trying to get a ewe to take on a lamb...
No, okay. No, I have heard this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the masturbation bit that caught me out, to be honest.
Jen then panicked that she either dreamt it or made it up.
Yeah.
And that she shouldn't have been doing that at all. And that there were several sheep in Ireland going,
yes.
Ow! Sitting, what are you doing?
Yes, having emergency therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, your listener who called in questioning the sheep technique got me very worried. I suddenly realised as a naive first-year student, I'd taken the word of my lecturer as gospel. What if he was winding us up? What if he was just a pervert? Can't tell you how relieved I was to find the above paper. The above paper is called Importance of Vagino-Cervical Stimulation for the Formation of Maternal Bonding in Prima Paris and Multiparous Parturient Ewes. Available in paperback. It's an audio book. Harriet reads it. James Herriot wouldn't have been at it, as the papers on this are 1988 to 1990s. Quite who found out about this and how is probably best not thought about too hard. As to the practicalities, sheep don't tend to arch their heads back at orgasm, so easy enough to spot the lip curl and glazed eyes single-handed. We don't use this technique in horses. They get a blindfold, a pot of Vic up each nostril, and their back legs tied together. Then a shot of intravenous oxytocin before the poor orphan foal is shoved onto a teat and everyone ducks for cover and hopes for the best. After a few days, the adopting mares will eventually take them. See, it's because sheep are brighter than... I mean, horses are brighter than sheep. Everything's brighter than...
Yeah, there's not much on the chart that comes
my coffee
below
is brighter
sheep,
than sheep
in the...
I could give those agriculture advisors some fun storylines, she says. Vet school is not as fluffy as they may think, nor are vets. By the way, James Herriot, a.k.a. Alf White, went to my vet school. We had a clock in the library that played the theme of all creatures great and small in tribute to him.
How did I not know that his real name was Alf White?
I don't know.
That seems like the sort of thing I ought to have known.
There's a lot of things that I don't know how you don't know them, but anyway, there we are. Okay.
Because I loved James Herriot as a kid. I read all the books.
This is Becky Sheaves from Cuckoo Down Farm.
Hello, Becky Sheaves from Cuckoo Down Farm.
She says, I can't listen to Lillian, Chris, Alice and the Hip talking about horses. It is unbearably explainy.
Even Sunday, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long would the average horseshoe last? Well, in these sort of conditions, I'd say 4 weeks. But you know, it is a bit muddy.
It was shorter than I expected. I thought you sort of put them on, I don't know, once or twice a year, but no.
Like when you go to Clark's and have your foot made about a foot lady. This Sunday, the Hip and Chris tackled the Ladybird book of how long horseshoes should last. When in real life, the reality would be a whole load of passag stuff about why Chris couldn't bang on a set of shoes to last more than 5 minutes. It would have been seen as a failing on his part that one had come off, and Harry was quite rude to draw attention to it. That scene should have been all bruised professional pride on Chris's part and snarky blame on Harry's.
Yep.
There is nothing worse than a shoe coming off mid-ride after just 2 weeks, bearing in mind they cost around 70 quid a set. Instead, we get the Wikipedia digest of equestrianism. Oh yes, horseshoes should last 4 years at this time of year. What with the ground being so poached, etc., etc. They need an equestrian editor. Happy to offer my services. I'm a devoted listener to the podcast, she says, and really love it. Probably more than the Arches itself at times. Could you tell me your origin story? I'm intrigued to know how you and Harriet got together to start the whole thing. How did Jeff and Matt get involved? And most pressing of all, why is poor Cooper no longer getting an executive producer credit?
Did he dog walk or was he pushed?
No, that was off mic. We were talking about that. Because I said he was going to start whining and you said no, he wasn't.
No.
He's completely vanished now, isn't he?
That's worrying. I don't know where he is, actually.
A paddle in a loo.
He's not in his bed. He's not on the couch, so...
Oh, good. Well, Becky, I'll give you the edited highlights. I used to do another Archers podcast and I left. And then I got to know Harriet and we...
Did she not also do the other podcast? Is that not how you got to know her?
Vaguely. She didn't do... Oh, she covered sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to know through, we got to know each other through that. And then I left and then we set up our own...
That was during lockdown, wasn't it?
Before lockdown.
Yes, but you started then to do your own thing during lockdown.
Yes. Yes. And then Matt just turned up like a little musical fairy and said, I've got some... He said, would you like a theme... No, he didn't do the theme tune. He said, would you like some songs to go at the end? Some play out music, and he just started doing all these parodies of the Archers theme tune in various styles. And then Harriet and I decided that we wanted to get somebody involved, because a lot of the Archers podcasts and all the Twitter feeds and all that are great if you've been listening for 100 billion trillion years and you know everything and you know when Auntie Cardboard's birthday is and all that. But if you're a new listener and around the Robin Helen storyline, picked up quite a few new listeners, the actual Archers, I mean, not us, and a lot of people going, sorry, how are these people related? Why does this person not get on with that person? I don't understand. So we decided that we needed somebody to come in as an Archers virgin, and I had just met Jeff, so we said let's force him He started. You started off as Mr. Newbie.
Mr. Newbie for about a year. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
And then you caught up, and then you weren't Mr. Newbie.
Then
anymore.
I knew everything about the Archers.
Yeah, everything, literally. So obviously we forced him to listen to every single episode right from the start.
Actually, in the beginning, I was listening to every single episode about four times,
trying to figure out whose voice was it.
And make notes. And yeah.
He's a very diligent student. Yeah. So that is. That is how it all happened. But I don't know why Cooper's executive producer credit has disappeared.
I suspect nefarious goings on in the Freeman Studios, to be honest.
Yes, we will reinstate that, Becky. Thank you for noticing, because I hadn't even noticed. I feel bad now.
Explains Cooper. Possibly why Cupid's been a bit down in the dumps recently.
He does.
He's just lost his raison d'etre.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what he's going to do with himself if he's not getting an EP credit here.
Yeah. But yes, they do. You're right, Becky. That was incredibly explainy. And now we're going to
tell you. I know nothing about horses, and even I thought, all right, that's enough now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the only thing I know about horses is they always, always, always try and kill me.
Mm. Yeah. That could go to so many of us, though. Steve Barry says, I hope that Harriet has found her way to wherever she records her little gems from. Best of luck in her and lots of other people's defence. Although Kidderminster is outside of the Black Country, as is Wolverhampton. In her defence, having worked there for years, the accents are similar to the untutored ear. They are. To the American ear, they are bafflingly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got no chance.
Undetectable.
Absolutely no chance.
And James James Herriot, the vet. James Everett says he's doing a degree in fashion design. So he will be designing the clothes with which you don't know what I'm talking about because you missed it last week. But James, you know, they did the charity fashion show.
Yes.
James Everett is doing a fashion show as part of his course.
Is he indeed?
He is. And he said it was Daniel, the other Everett, who is into drama.
Uh-huh.
So there's drama Daniel
and
fashion James.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that, James. I don't think we can help in the slightest. But if there is a way we can, let me know.
Do you have a green suit you can have?
Yeah, a green velvet suit,
is
it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Now, you didn't listen to last week, so you don't know.
Yeah, all right. Can we stop wanging on about how I didn't listen to last week's show?
It was
busy.
Linda... No, it wasn't. It was Lillian walked in on James Bellamy, her son, and Leonie in the bath.
Good Lord.
And had to stop.
Was there lots of splashing going on?
No. Okay. It was just, more! Oh. And
was he in his pyjamas? No, wait, that was...
And Brenda then appeared and said, shall I come up? And Lillian was going,
sorry,
no!
Who's Brenda?
Brenda is Mike Tucker's daughter. Who's now
Mark
disappeared.
And Vicky.
We don't know where Brenda's
gone. Not to Birmingham with Mike, presumably.
No, she's in... I've forgotten where she is. She went away to Russia for a little bit. She went... she's travelled and she's going to... She's like, you know, the one that got away. She's like Mrs. Hotshot. So she'll be back probably at some point, being all glamorous and upsetting everybody. Yeah. Now, for this week's clip... Are you ready? Yes?
Yes, I thought you were asking the listeners.
No, I'm asking you.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here? You know.
What? Sex.
Exactly. Lust, seduction, burning passion and heaving bosoms.
Oh, no, that takes me back.
Remember what it was like when we was young?
Remember when you were young, back in our singing days? Them sexy little outfits you used to wear on stage. I mean, talk about heaving bosoms.
So funny. We was reminiscing about the old days.
Oh.
Hey, Tony.
Oh, hello.
You know, when Valentine's Day was all about first love and broken hearts.
And she was the Lily of Leighton Cross, all dolled up in buckskin and rhinestones.
Long time ago. Yeah. Anyhow, Shires, is it?
Yeah, please. Yep.
Tony.
What?
Point.
Fantastic. Tony.
I
Tony.
Love...
Yeah. All right, Tony.
Such a wet fart. Oh, God.
But that whole...
Yeah.
That was not appropriate, Eddie.
Eddie was basically just going, boobs, Jolene, boobs.
That was horrible.
It was quite Beavis and Butthead, because whoever else was with was just going, in the background, and they were thinking about boobs.
That was horrible. So hang on, but he said, so he sang as well, did he? He said he was singing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he fancied Jolene.
No,
Eddie fancied Jolene.
No shit.
Yeah. And oh, hello, Cooper. He's woken up. Hello. He fancied Jolene, but got engaged to Clary, and I think Jolene turned him down like a bedspread. And he then became engaged to Clary, and there was a bit of, a bit of jealousy.
Yeah, yeah.
As there would be, really.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine Eddie and Jolene together.
No. No.
I mean, they've probably been worse couples in the Archers, but it's hard to think of one off the top of my head.
Well, Jolene and Sid.
I didn't know Sid. Was that a thing?
Was what a thing?
Jolene and Sid.
Yeah.
Who was Sid?
Sid was the landlord of the Bull.
Oh.
Right,
okay.
And...
Jolene wasn't.
She was... Oh, God, I've got to get this right. Sid was going out with Kathy Perks.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Was married to Kathy Perks, and he had an affair with Jolene.
Uh-huh.
And that was the infamous shower scene.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all a bit grim. And Sid was an old homophobe, racist git.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he was not sadly missed.
No.
I mean, I'm sure the actor was very good and everything, but as a character, he wasn't one of my favourites. Yes. Right. You're supposed to introduce something now. Go back to your script.
Oh, bugger. I've got to log in. Hang on. Sorry, everybody. It's just a PIN number. That's all. There we go. And I'll find my glasses now.
Oh, my God.
Well, you need to give me some warning on this, right? What am I... okay. And now...
I could have done this, really, couldn't I?
You absolutely could have done this, yeah. And now we're crossing over to the dairy where an urgent meeting is about to take place.
Ba, ba, ba.
Hello? Hello? Jangs, what's this?
Don't hurr on that window. I hate it when people hurr on it. I've been out with my windowing twice this morning already. Come into the warm.
Sorry, Mrs. Carter. I just don't remember it being here last time I was here. What's it for?
Gawping. Making us feel like performing seals. Although it does have its uses. When it was icy, me and Clary watched Tom keep sliding over with his veg boxes and holding up scorecards.
Every time we went in, we took another bucket of water on the yard. How are you, anyway? Sorry to drag you out again, but we've got another problem.
Oh, that's fine. You pay your dues to the Amalgamated Yoghurt Specialists Incorporating Semi-Skimmed Operatives Union, and you're entitled to representation. What seems to be the trouble?
Adam, that's what. We was quite happy managing ourselves. I was going to do it, in fact. I was looking forward to it. Kira got her badge maker out and made me one that said Dairy Manager. Well, it actually said Dairy Minger, but the thought was there.
No. You're going to have to start at the beginning.
The owner of the dairy, Ellen, she's taking her children away to Paris to celebrate the death of their father. And no problem with that at all. If anyone needs a break, it's Ellen. Plus, it means she's not here to criticise her packed lunches. There's nothing wrong with salad cream.
So, the salad cream is the problem?
No, it's just that when she's away, we decided I was going to be the manager.
In name only...
What do you mean, in name only?
Well, I'm obviously the one with the actual management experience. I would have made the business critical decisions.
Business critical decisions? Like whether we should fish the digestive crumbs out of the yoghurt mixer or just call it cheesecake?
You can't just call yourself a manager, Clary. You need experience and know-how.
It was your idea.
Ladies, if we could just come back to the crucial point. Is it... the digestives or the packed lunches? I'm confused.
Neither. It's Adam. She's put him in as manager.
And he's inexperienced.
His main experience is in planting weeds and making edible gardens.
Well, most gardens are edible, aren't they? I mean, if you're a goat or something.
Yeah, well, this is some nonsense about rhubarb fountains and parsnip rookeries.
So, he has no actual dairy experience.
Well, he shadowed me for a bit, but basically we spent most of the time gossiping and reading heat.
I see. So you'll have an unqualified manager?
Yes, unqualified and tired. He's asleep most of the time.
So why do you think Helen's hired him?
Well, the only explanation we have is that he's her cousin.
Well, that's nepotism. We frown on that in the Amalgamated Yoghurt Specialists Incorporating Semi-Skimmed Operatives Union. We did a seminar on it.
That's what it's like, though, living in a village dominated by the Archer family.
Oh, Archers? Did you say Archer family?
Yeah, they're everywhere, like fruit flies and Alison Hammond.
Ah, well, you didn't say this was an Archer problem. I'm not touching this. Oh, no way.
But you're our union rep.
Oh, yeah, yes. We're brave, us union reps, but we're not stupid. I'm not messing with the Archer family, the Cosa Nostra and barbers. Sorry, ladies, you're on your own.
Right, Cooper, we're going to end the show now because Cooper's whining as it's past his walk time.
Do we not have some music as well?
Yes, I'm going to do that now.
Okay, good.
Yes, yes. If you've enjoyed the show, please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like. And you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at onambridge, Febreze is at fabulousfebreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
That's ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And I am shortly going to be setting up a Ambridge on the Couch Instagram account.
It is very exciting.
It is very exciting. Yes. I'm going to have some lessons in it, in Instagramming, the Insta. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be teaching lessons?
No, having them, not teaching.
Oh, you're going
them.
To have lessons yes. in the Insta?
In how to do it.
Where are you
yes.
going to get those from?
My son.
Aha, yes, of course.
Who happily is a film student as well, so he can tell me what to do and will then probably refuse to ever look at anything I produce because he'll just say it's terrible. Anyway, we're going to go out with a theme tune courtesy of Mr. Rodriguez Payne, who has been inspired this week by Pulp Fiction. He said, "Kenton may start relying on Class A's, and Linda will be forced to inject." He said insulin. It wasn't insulin. It was adrenaline.
Yes. Straight into his heart.
Directly into his heart.
Yeah.
This would possibly be unlikely, he says. I don't think it's no more unlikely than anything else. And it's a lot more interesting than talking about horseshoes for 20 minutes. So we will go out with Matt Rodriguez Payne's tribute to Pulp and Bridge. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.